So let's get into the Word today. Praise the Lord. It's the Word that changes our lives. It's the Word that makes us who we are. It's the Word that works in our church. We are getting deeper into our summer reading. Amen. That's what we're getting. So summer reading. Our book this year is Strong Through the Storm by Pastor Jim Cimbala. It's probably our fifth or sixth book that we've read by him in the summertime, because you enjoy the stories. I enjoy the stories. How he brings people from his church, Brooklyn Tabernacle, and talks about how they were out in the world and how they've come to these things and how the church has grown through prayer. And Pastor Jim gives total testimony. It's not him. It's not anything that's happening with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It's all prayer. Every Tuesday, that church meets for prayer. People travel 6-7 hours from across the states to get there, sometimes even further, for the Tuesday night prayer, because they've touched into something. They've connected into something. The subtitle of this book is How to Be a Christian in the World Today, but I hear it speaking to who we are as a church over all of that. I just hear something resounding. I'm speaking to Abundant Living. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking as the pastor. I'm speaking to the people that are sitting in the pews as they're reading this book on the beaches, as they're reading this book in their homes, in their backyards, wherever they're reading this book, on the job, in their breaks. I'm speaking to them. And so I hear it speaking loudly and clearly, because I do not believe that we can live as a Christian in this world today outside of being involved in the church first. Let me say that again. Some of you online may not agree with me, but I want you to know it is very important that you are tied into a church. And I'm going to show you that today from the book, from the chapter, I think it's chapter 4 that we read this past week. I've got two messages working in my heart, because I've been working on two messages at the same time. So I don't like to do that, because sometimes I get confused. But I'm going to stick to my notes and not get confused. Amen. I don't want to give you next week's message already. So what I'm saying is you need to be involved in a church, and involved in a church that is moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, involved in a church that is moving in God's glory, involved in a church that is making a difference where they are. I'm not here to tell you that this is that church. I'm here to tell you we want to be that church. I'm here to tell you that we're striving and doing things to become that church. Do we have it perfected? No, we don't. Do we have a long way to go? Yes, we do. But it's our hearts. It's the heartbeat of this pastor. I believe it's the heartbeat of the, and we're going to see today that usually what we have behind the pulpit is what we have in the pews. Amen? And so some of this, as I read, was that next week's chapter? Oh boy, see, this is the way I get. Yeah, so scratch that. That's not what we read this week. That was next week's chapter. So maybe you've already read it, but that's okay. So this statement still rings in my heart. If this was the first message, if the church truly understood what was coming their way, they would have chosen differently. That's what started all of this off. And we said in that message that Christ needs to be the center of our attention right now and going into this future. We don't know what this future holds, but I'll tell you what. I am not just going to listen to the news and sit in a couch somewhere and bury my head and say, well, I can't live life. I'm living life to the fullest, because I trust Jesus in all of this. And so we're moving forward, and Christ needs to be the center of where we are and who we are. The church has to know who their God is, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a world out there that's looking for answers, and they've heard that the church has the answers, and they're going to the church, and you know what they're finding out? The church don't even know who they are. And so there's this confused people sitting in pews all over the nation. The church has no idea what their power is, where they're getting their power from. They don't even know that they can defeat the devil in some churches. They don't know that they have authority. And then the world is coming to us and saying, help me, please, can you do this for me? And we're like, we can't even pray ourselves out of the problems we're in. How are we going to do that for you? The church needs to stop playing its game. That's what we said. The church has to know who we believe in. The church has to know what we believe. The people of God have to truly figure out what we believe. And then listen to me, church, we need to live by it. I'm not judging you. I'm judging myself. And what I'm saying is we've got a long way to go. And there are things in our lives, let's be honest, sitting in these pews today, there are things in our lives that aren't bringing God glory. There are things in our lives that we're dealing with that aren't leading people to Christ. And we bring that to the church, and if we're bringing a measure of faith, and we're bringing a measure of our gifting, and we're bringing all that to the church, then we also bring the crap to the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? And when we add that into everything else, it's not glorifying God. And so this is where God needs to work in our lives. This is where God needs to do what he's going to do. We have to make sure that we don't allow any hesitancy in our lives when it comes to moving in the power of God. This was another message. We cannot be like Israel, who chose to have Moses be their mouthpiece and not meet God personally at the mountain. And that's what they did. They chose, Moses, you go. We're afraid. We don't like the lightning and the thunderings at the mountain. You go and you tell us what God wants. Well, you know, that never works really well. And if you're sitting in church or you're joining us online for the umpteenth time or whatever the case is, and you're thinking that Pastor Ken is just going to be your mouthpiece, that is not what Pastor Ken's here for. The Lord has laid out my job very clearly. He's given apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and to minister in the church to what? Build up the church to their faith so that the church can go out and do the ministry. You need to find God. My job is to build you up in your faith. My job is to speak the word of God over your life and you to go out of this building and say, amen, I believe it, and now I'm setting my feet to it. And I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to change the things that I'm doing because I understand that God has a plan for me. We need to allow God to build the church. This was another message. And direct everything that we do in it. God needs to be in charge of this. We need a building, we said this, that is full of the presence of God's Holy Spirit. We don't need all the most beautiful stuff. We don't need all the nicest stuff. Do we need to look nice? Sure we do. If visitors come in, you know, they want a clean building. They want a nice place. I'm sorry for the pews. We're getting rid of the pews. We're bringing seats in. We've ordered 200 new chairs. And unfortunately, I just got notice this week, if you've had anything shipped to you, you're getting the same notices. We are sorry, but it's not going to happen on the date we gave you. We can't get a container. We can't get a ship. It's four times. Shipping overseas is four times higher than what these companies plan for. And so even if they can get a container, it's hard to get the stuff here. So we're looking at probably another 2 months, September, October, before we can get our chairs. And so these pews are going to suffice. They've been here for 30 years now. They'll work. Amen. But when we get the chairs in, it's going to be beautiful. We can turn around chairs around, make prayer groups, and have different types of meetings and those types of things. But that's okay. God knows what he's doing. So I apologize. I apologize that pews are all over the place. They were supposed to be gone. Somebody was supposed to get them. If by the time the chairs come, if they don't come and get them, then we're going to put them up on Facebook again and see who else wants them, and we'll see how that goes. So, but I apologize. The church should be a place where people can come in and say, oh, this is a beautiful place to worship. Let's see. We need leaders and people in ministry that are sold out for Christ. We need pastors and spiritual leaders who spend time in God's presence. And we need people who stand behind them and support and cover them in prayer and in God's presence. And in that message, I said, please pray for me. Please pray for your pastor. Lift me up so that I can have the strength that I need, so I can overcome the things that the enemy brings against me, and so that I can speak the message from a heart that's pure and a heart that is speaking the things of God. We need people in the church who have had their hearts set on fire by the fire of the Holy Spirit, amen? I don't want to go to church and just, oh, wow, man, wow, I can't wait till this is done. This is brutal, man. When's he going to finish? You know, I want a place where we're excited and we walk out. Now, listen, I know some of you come from work. So that's why when I see you, I'm not going to pick on you. I get that. Some of you worked all night long. Sister Maria texted me today. That woman has worked just double shifts at her place for the last couple months because they don't have people to work. And she texted me today, said, Pastor, this was at 7:30. I just got home. She said, there's no way I can come to church today. I want to. She said, but I will join you online. She said, I can't make it there. And I get that, you know, and so praise God for that. But she's committed and she's trying her best to be there. And so we need people like that. And our last thought in that message was that we need a fresh grace, a fresh understanding of what grace is. Do you hear that noise? No, that's fine. Let them go. That's our kids downstairs worshiping. Let them make all the noise they want. Amen? Because if they're excited about serving Jesus, that bass is not going to bother us. All right? So ushers, you don't need to worry about that. I'm totally fine with that. Let our children praise. They are not going to bother us. Maybe we need to get our feet to dancing too. I don't know. But we need a fresh understanding of what grace is. We need a fresh revelation of what it means to live in God's grace. And we need a fresh power to bring that grace to our world. And then last week, my brother David, when he was here, spoke about a church that is involved in and moving in the things they're doing through fervent prayer. And he talked about the prayer of Hannah and how that not only that and how that prayer not only changed her situation, she was given a son Samuel, but how it also changed the nation of Israel because Samuel would become the next prophet, and how that changed the nation from where it was. And I would like to make this point here that my brother made last Sunday. Prayer changes things. Moms, don't give up. Dads, don't give up. Grandparents, don't give up. pray and believe and intercede, because God is going to move. Prayer changes things. And then last week, we closed the service out with such a wonderful time of corporate prayer that it was refreshing and it was wonderful and it was a move of God. This morning, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Lord, I know I prayed, but I just ask your blessing to be upon this flesh and to be upon your word. Let the anointing come forth and speak to our hearts in what you are saying to us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, how many love but God? Amen. Isn't that great? Whenever you see that, but God, this is who you were. But God, this is what you were going through. But God, this is where you are. But God, amen. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen to this, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And it's the last verse that I want to focus on today. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I need you to say that with me today. Good works. Say it with me today. I was created. God created me for good works. Okay, you said it yourself to me. So if you were created for good works, then that means this church should be doing, and I'd add, we are in many ways doing great works. Amen? Isn't that the way it is? If you just told me, and you just told me, you professed it out of your mouth, God created me to do good works, then this church is here in this community on this old cornfield, sitting on the corners of Route 54 and Jackson Road. This church is here to do good works. If you read the chapter with me, you heard Avril's story. What an amazing story. I alluded to it last week because I had read it last week, and it just amazed me. I was amazed at how this woman who had nothing did so much. As I read about Avril's story, I saw this isn't usually your typical story in the church today. A knock on the door. You haven't paid your rent. You're out with her kids. Her husband moves into a different place. She moves in with the kids into the shelter. She's moving into different homes and staying with friends. And these are not huge houses, folks, that she's staying in. These are apartments in New York City. Okay, they're 1 and 2 bedroom apartments that already have families in them. Families are displacing themselves to make room for her family and her children to come in. And this is what's happening in her story. If you didn't get a book and you would like a book and you're going to attend here on a regular basis, the book is free. We'll give it to you. If you need another book, we ask you to pay for it. They're $12, but this is our summer reading program. Okay, we've been doing it for 10, 12 years. And so this isn't usually your typical story in the church today. Most people in her position, you know what they would do? They would say that they couldn't do anything because they don't have anything. I can't be involved in ministry. I could never help people out. I don't have anything. I'm suffering myself. I'm going through great strain myself. I don't even have a roof over my head for my children. And I would say that they probably don't have anything to give because they're not doing anything. So see, it's the way we look at it. Well, I can't do anything, Pastor, because I don't have anything. And I'm going to say, well, according to the scriptures, then you don't have anything because you're not doing anything. Has anybody figured out yet that the blessings of the Lord aren't ours? Anybody else figured that out? I'm still learning in some ways because there are still things that the Lord gives me that I still want to hold on to. But the Lord says, unless you let it go, I can't give you more. And so we've got this church in America that's just holding on to everything. And we got garages full, and we've got basements full, and we've got attics full, and we're holding on to all this stuff. But God says, what are you doing? I can't give you more. You don't have any more space. So I can't give you more until you give it away. And some of us are beginning to discover what giving away really means. And in that, we're discovering that, wow, God, this works out pretty well when we trust you. The blessings of the Lord aren't ours. And blessings don't seem to flow from heaven until we begin to use those blessings to bless others. Isn't there a song that says, as I give, you give? I don't remember what it is, but anyway, it's scriptural. I know that, even if it's not a song. Anybody notice that? The blessings won't flow from heaven unless you allow the blessings to flow through you. Am I speaking the truth today? If I am, say amen. Okay, thank you. That's why the title today is Use What You Got. Stop waiting for God to give you more. Stop waiting for God to answer this prayer or that prayer. Just use what you got. Because if you keep waiting for more, then it's probably not coming. Because God is saying, I've given you enough to begin to do what I've called you to do. Now step out in faith and do it, and then I will meet every other need. You see, we have a church today in America that is supposed to be the agent of heaven in touching people's lives, in making a difference in our world. But we are useless because we're waiting for enough to give from. And God's saying, what? Why? I've already given it to you. I've already blessed you with it. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying to Abundant Living Church today, use what you got. I know that we have a lot of ground here. I know that we're believing for a building where people can come and do their laundry, where people can maybe stay a night, where people can get their clothes, where people can get whatever they need. Maybe it's even got a gym in it where people work out and things like that, where people can come who don't have and find a place where everything is free to them and they're able to do what they want to do. Okay, I get that. But let's start using the ground now. Let's stop waiting for the building and let's just do these things. And you know what? We are doing those things. I mean, we don't have washing machines running yet or those types of things, but we're starting to say, hey, God, you've given us this ground. We're going to use it to bless our community. We're going to use it to bring the community together. And that's where God begins to say, okay, great. Now I'll move in the next step. I was just waiting for you to figure it out. I was just waiting for you to get involved. I was just waiting for you to see that I blessed you with so much. And you're saying, wait, God, we need what we got. In Avril's case, it seemed to me that what was offered was almost instantly needed. Remember, she talks about the freezer? And she says a freezer was given to her. She had no place to put it. She had no idea what she was going to do with it. Sooner or later, the phone rings or somebody says, I need a freezer. My freezer just went. Do you know where I can get one? And she's like, you see, she saw God come through in ways. Here she is homeless. She has no place to store this stuff. Somebody gives her a freezer. She can't take the freezer. But all of a sudden, she comes home and somebody says, I need a freezer. Wow, God, two and two. I see how this works. And so almost instantly it was needed. That's God. But we want the storehouse. We want to know that we have enough before we give anything away. And if you know the scriptures, that's not our God. That's not the way God works. God says to Abram, okay, he's not Abraham yet, he's Abram, okay? God says, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. We know that he's talking about the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. That's why we fly their flag, to remind us that we don't have Christianity without what they have and that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, okay? And so he says, Abram, I'm going to make you a great country. Okay, God, I'm ready. Oh, no, you're going to go for a walk with me. I'm going to go for a walk with you. Where are we going? I'm not going to tell you. But when we get there, I'll let you know. Now, if I'm Abram, I'm saying, well, God, you let me know and then I'll go. I'm just being real with you today. Abram starts walking. He has no idea where he's going. He has no idea. He packs his family up, takes anything he can take with him, and starts on this long haul. And it's quite a long haul. And it took them 40 years to get into the promised land and even longer to become a nation. And this is what we see. We want to know right away. But that's not God. That's not how he works. Another story of Abraham. Abraham didn't see the ram in the thicket until he began to plunge the knife down into Isaac's chest, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, look, Dad, there's a ram caught there in the thicket. I just heard this week, I don't know where I was. Were we talking in men's group? I think it was men's group. I think we talked about this, that the thicket, that ram might have been there the whole time. May have been, I don't know. But all I know is Abraham didn't see it until he was willing to do what God asked him to do. And then God provides. The three Hebrew boys, they didn't know Jesus would be with them until they start walking around in the fire. They say to the king, King, you can do what you want with us. We believe that our God can release us, can protect us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your idol. And you know what? They go into the fire, and then Jesus is with them. And the king looks in and says, wow, Didn't we throw three in? I see four. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. The Shunammite woman, she didn't have enough to live on. The prophet comes up to her and he says, would you make me a meal? And she says, man, I wished I could, but I'm about to go in and make my last meal for my son and I, and then we're going to die of starvation. And the prophet says, make it for me first. She did not see the provision of God in her life. She did not have enough to feed her family until she takes whatever she has, uses it all up for the prophet. And then all of a sudden she has more oil than she can do with and more bread than she can do with, and she starts selling it to make a living for her and her family, okay? This is how God works. That's how God works, church. Listen, the Holy Spirit is life. This is where I'm getting at today. The Holy Spirit, listen to how Avril speaks about her church. Listen to this. Homeless woman, doing ministry, giving to people. This is what she speaks about her church. Sunday services at church were my source of nourishment. This is on page 50 if you want to go back and underline it. Sunday services at church were my source of nourishment. I learned so much from the sermons and drank from the Spirit, letting Him flood me with love and hope. For the first time, remember she had lost a child. For the first time, I allowed my tears to flow freely as I daily consecrated my life and my children to the Lord. Let me read that again. You need to get this. I'm going somewhere with this today. Sunday services at church were my source of nourishment. I learned so much from the sermons and drank from the Spirit, letting Him flood me with love and hope. For the first time, I allowed my tears to flow freely as I daily consecrated my life, my children, to the Lord. And that's page 50 of the book if you want to look at that and what this woman says about her life. Listen, church, the move of the Spirit in that church was what got her through the death of a child. Church, the people in her life celebrating with the church, celebrating and having the Holy Spirit move in her life is what got her through being put out on the streets with her kids. Church, the fellowship of the saints, the singing of the songs, the reading of the word, the worshiping together of God is what got her through the divorce from her husband. And in the midst of all of these things happening, it's what causes her to start a ministry that ministers to others just like herself. That's an amazing thought today. That's powerful. That's what the church needs, church. This is what each and every one of us needs in our lives today. This is what you need at home. This is what we all need. Did you come to church today because you had to? It's Sunday. Oh my gosh, I got to get to church. Oh, I'm in OSL. It's my last check. I can't miss my last check mark in the book. I've got to get to church. Did you come because it's Sunday? I'm not saying you had to because it was Sunday. I'm not saying you had to because it was the last day of OSL. I'm not saying you had to because it's one of the things you just need to do. I'm saying had to. Did you have to come to church today? I'm saying had to because you didn't know that you would miss something or that you knew that you would miss something if you weren't here. I have to be there. I'm going to miss something. God's going to move in something. If you weren't here today, you know that you could be starving your spirit this week. Do you know that? If you're not connected to the saints, if you're not hearing the word of God, if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you, you're missing something. You're starving your spirit from the nutrition that God wants to give to you. If you hadn't come today, you would miss out on what the Holy Spirit was going to do in our church, in somebody's life, and you'd miss out on that in your life. So is it a necessity today that you and I are here in this building together? I pray that it is, much like Avril knew that she needed church because it was what kept her from starving and what kept her from dying. What brought you here today? I pray that it wasn't because it was Sunday. I pray that it wasn't because you just have to be here because you have to put a check on a page. I pray that it was because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to move, that God is going to speak, and that you need what God is going to do. If that is not why you are here today, then we need to check two things. Number one, we need to check our church. Are we moving in the Holy Spirit the way God wants to move? Because if we're not allowing that to happen, then I get it. Who wants to be here? You can sit in any church and just get a message. You can sit in any church and hear good songs. And number two, you have to check yourself. Because why is the power of the Holy Spirit not important to you? Why is it not affecting you? Why is it not doing something deep in your spirit? So what am I saying? This gathering today is so important because our good works come from what God is doing in us. Let me say that again. Our good works come from what God is doing in us. The good works flow from our relationship with the Lord. I want to do good works for Jesus Christ. Well, the good works flow from your relationship with the Lord. It is the condition of our spiritual life that enables us to do good works. I'll say this, it's the condition of our spiritual life that enables us to even want to do good works, to even want to do good things. It is true that we nurture a healthy spiritual life by many of the things that we do at home, by many of the ways that we stay connected in the communion that we have with God. That is true. But a very large portion of that is accomplished in this gathering today. A very large portion of that is involved in the saints getting together, singing the songs, singing the hymns of the church, breaking bread together, and doing what Jesus has called us to do. Ephesians 4:11 to 16, I talked about it earlier. Let me say it again. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. We got a lot of that in the church today. By the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Here's what happens in this gathering. As ministry takes place, godly leaders, godly worship leaders, godly singers, godly music players, people in ministry begin to edify the body of Christ. We build you up. We lead you. We speak to you. We challenge you. We come into life with you and rub shoulders together with you. And so what happens is the bodies build up. Amen? As the bodies build up, we come into unity through faith. We take our proper places under the leadership of Jesus Christ. As we take our place, Jesus knits us together as the body and builds each and every single part up. Listen, by what every other part supplies. I have a saying that you've heard me say through the years. If you go on vacation, go on vacation. If you need to do things, you need to do things. You need to be at work today, you be at work today. But if you're just home sitting, you are robbing us. Because you are keeping your measure of faith. You are keeping what the joint you bring to this gathering. And you're keeping it at home and you're keeping it selfishly to yourself when God ordained it to be a part of who we are and what we do to equip this church, to build this church, to empower this church to do the things that God wants to do. Amen? That's scripture. It might be PK's version of scripture, but it's scripture. And so he connects us. And so that's what's happening. He connects us. The body's matured. And though it doesn't say here, good works take place. Good works take place. And so if you're missing out on being joined to the body, you're missing out on the fullness of what God wants to do in this church. So here today, this morning, we connect with God. God connects us to each other. The body's edified. The body's matured. The body is built up. The body grows in love for God and for each other. And then we are moved to touch our world. We are sent out of these doors into our workplaces. We are sent out of these doors into our homes. We are sent out of these doors into our community to take what God did this morning in this service today to share it in the life of those around us. Now, some of us might leave this place today and wonder, well, Pastor, how do I start? Maybe we don't feel like we've received anything today. I pray that's not the case. Maybe we feel like we have to wait maybe to get a little more because we don't feel like we know enough. Maybe we've listened to the lies of the enemy that try to discourage, that disqualify us, that tell us we'll never be enough and that God doesn't love us enough. But the Lord is very clear to tell us here that when the church is meeting in a place where the Holy Spirit is moving, God moves in our midst. When he moves, he touches our lives. When he touches our lives, he changes us. When he changes us, he prepares us for good and powerful works. So don't listen to the enemy when you walk out these doors today. Go out and know I've been equipped. I may not have what I think I need, but I've got enough to be dangerous for the Holy Spirit. I've got enough to be a force to be reckoned with for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go. I love the song Simon said, God has never lost a battle. Amen. And he's calling us into the battle today. Amen. Avril got that. She understood it. Through her connection with God and with her church, her faith was built up to face the things that she was facing. And I want to tell you, if you read the story, I told you some of the things. They were some tough stuff. Her love for others was given to her by the Holy Spirit in those services, as she sang, as people prayed over her, as people met her need. Her love for others began to grow by the Holy Spirit. Her plan to make a difference, her plan to do good things, was inspired by the very heart of God, and her assistance came through the church family. She didn't have trucks to deliver stuff to people. The men in the church would offer their trucks. When the church was selling their van, she was very upset. If you read the story, she was very upset. What was she going to do? The church gave her the van all the time. And you know what God told her? Buy the van. I don't have money to buy a van. I don't even have a place to stay with my kids. Buy the van. God provided her the money for the van. She buys the van, and she's got the ministry going. Amen? Because she stepped out. Who wants that today? I want that. I pray that our church wants that. I pray that you want that. You have to recognize, church, first of all, that it's all through God, though. Everything. And so let me bring this last point to light, and we'll close with this. What is done in us is now done through us. Say that with me. What is done in us is now done through us. Let's make it personal. What is done in me, go ahead, is now done through who? Yeah, exactly. Amen. Praise God. You spoke it to me, so I know you're on track with me today. Today in this service, God is at work in each of us. We will, or we should, but we've already learned that 50% of people in the church are saying that they feel nothing in church and they get nothing from church. It's not happening. But we should leave this place today changed by what God does here, by what God is speaking to us even now. I pray that though you're hearing my voice, you're hearing God's word. And that the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart and he's agitating. I know that could be a negative word. It's not the way I use it. He's agitating. You know how the washer agitates and gets everything clean? He's just agitating. He's stirring your heart. The Bible says we provoke one another. Provoke is a good word there, the way it says it. He says stir. I like provoke. That we stir one another up to good things. We provoke one another. And this is what God's doing here today in this service. He's speaking to us even now. Will you listen to him? Will you do what he says? You see, God doesn't call without equipment. So you know what this is? This is a gym. And today we're stretching our spiritual muscles. And some of you might go, oh, I didn't know I had that before. No, but you do. And God wants you to use it. And he wants to strengthen it. You see, in the church today, you know what the biggest muscle is? The mouth. We love to run the mouth. And we talk a good talk, but we're not walking the good walk. You know what I'm saying? It's time not to build the mouth up in the church. It's time to build the spiritual muscles up. It's time to build up the muscle of prayer. It's time to build up the muscle of intercession. It's time to build up the muscle of love and care and service. It's time to build up the muscle of unity. It's time to build up the muscle of peace. It's time to build up the muscle in the of the presence of the Holy Spirit. God wants to work us out today. He will also use where you work. He will use your home. He will use the place where you hang out to build you up. Because he's going to put people in your way that's not going to get out of your way. And you're going to say, man, I wish that person wouldn't be around anymore. But they're going to stay there because God wants you to minister to them. My father had a neighbor, Nick Nazario. Nick hated when he saw my dad walking down the road. Because he knew my dad was coming over to his house to have coffee with him. My dad drank tea. To have coffee with him. And he was going to tell him about Jesus. And Dad did this almost every day. And so Dad would be walking down the road, and Nick would say to Debbie, oh, here he comes again, hide me. And he'd hide from my dad. My dad knew he was there. Dad would go in, sit with Nick, tell Nick about Jesus. Nick wanted nothing to do with Jesus. We went into a very expensive program back then that all churches were going into. It was called Purpose-Driven Church. And we did that. We did the big feast. We did all of that. And you know the only family that came to that, all the money we put out, the only family that came to that was Nick and Deb Nazario. Nick had ended up with cancer. And all of a sudden, Nick needed Jesus. And Nick allowed my dad, looked for my dad, to come into the house every day. And Nick sat right about here. And Nick would worship the Lord during those 7 or 8 weeks that we did that program. And Nick would worship the Lord. And Nick gave his heart to Jesus. And I watched Nick go to heaven. Because my dad, who would not give up, continued to walk down the street when he knew he wasn't wanted. To share the love of Jesus Christ. We knock on the door and, oh, you know what? I don't want to hear you. Okay, I'm sorry. And never go back. When are we going to get this just, I don't mean drive people nuts. I get that. But God has placed people in our lives for a reason. You are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. And God is building you up today. Keep in mind who you're hanging with in the gym. Keep in mind what you're reading in the gym. Keep in mind what you are looking at or listening to in the gym. When I go to the gym, I haven't gone since COVID, not because I'm afraid of COVID, it was a good excuse not to go back. Still paying it every month. Planet Fitness is still taking my money every month, but I haven't been back. I just really haven't had the time because of my change in schedules at the school and everything. But, you know, we can all make time for things that are important to us. But when I go, you know what I do? I pop my headphones in because I want to listen to something spiritual. I want to listen to the crap that they have playing over the radio. See what I'm saying? Why? Because I want to build my spirit up too while I'm there. We have to be careful. Think about the things you have been through, church. Some people sit in pews all the time and listen to someone speak. Or they watch someone else do something in the church. And you know what they do? They sit there and they say, oh, I wish that was me. Oh, I wish I had that ministry. Oh, I wish I could do something for Jesus. Oh, but I have nothing to offer. Look at what. Listen, look at what. And look at where God has brought you from. Come on, right now. Look at what. And look at where God has brought you from. Look what he has brought you through. Many times those places are the places where he will have you do ministry. You heard my brother say last week, my sister-in-law, they've lost three children. They have three, they've lost three. They've had six children. So my sister-in-law has a ministry to moms who have lost children. Why? Because she knows the hurt. She knows the pain. I know as his brother, someone who's so close to him that we talk about everything in ministry, I know that even when they lost those children, he didn't want to hear from me. And I backed off. I get it. I've not experienced that. I've not known that pain. Ashley can come alongside of a mom and know that pain and understand that pain and minister. You may have come from an addictive lifestyle. You may have come from something else that God says, okay, I brought you through it. I brought you to this place. Use what you got. So minister from it. If you've been divorced, stop letting the enemy put you down. You are here to, and you've experienced that so that you can talk on the other side of that now what God has done to people who are going through that, that need a hand, that need help, that need somebody who can say, it's going to be okay, you're going to get through this, God's going to bring you through, this is not what you wanted it to be, but know this. If you've been through a death of a close loved one, then get to somebody and look for somebody that God's bringing your way that's experiencing that today. Use what you got. Just look at Avril here. She started this ministry while she was in some craziness of her own life. So think about the things that you've experienced. Think about the good and the bad. Think about how God has moved in your life to bring you through, to get you here today. What we just sang on those screens today, I hope that it just wasn't praise because you just everybody else is praising. I hope it was praise because you're saying, God, you did that in my life. God, you're doing that now. God, this is who you are. You see, if we will look at those songs as a personal utterance of who we are, those songs change. They're not just beautiful. They're not just catchy. They're not just woohoo. I love to clap to the offbeat. I can't clap on the onbeat. So if you follow me clapping, you're clapping on the wrong beat. The only place that I clap on the right beat is if I was in an African-American church. Because they do clap on the offbeat. I don't know. Maybe I'm raised to be an African-American church. I don't know. But anyway, I clap on the wrong beat. So if you follow me, you're wrong. Just know that, okay? But I can't change it. That's the way God made me. Come on, you know I'm right, Simon, right? You know what I'm saying. So I'm always going to, I try to listen to Hosea. I try to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. But you know what? It's still the one count. I still get on the one count. I still miss it. So I don't know. I'm just telling you, don't follow me when I clap. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you follow me, we're going to praise the Lord together. I don't know how I even got to that. That's goofy. Has nothing to do with the message. Think about how God's moved you to where you are. Now know this. There is nothing that is uncommon to man, Paul says. What does that mean? Now, the Bible says no temptation, but I'm going to stretch it a little bit and say, because I believe this is also true. That means there is probably someone here today, or at your workplace, or watching us online, or in your community, your neighbor, who is experiencing and going through the exact same thing that you did. Because the enemy will say, well, it's just you that's experienced that. Don't you know, you can't share that with anybody. You can't tell anybody you're going through that. Yeah, that's how the enemy keeps us secluded. There's nothing uncommon to man. There's nothing that you have experienced. There's nothing that you have gone through that somebody else isn't going to go through. And you have the wisdom now on the other side of it. You have the experience now on the other side of it to help them, to encourage them, to speak to them, and to pray them through what they are facing. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for more, Pastor. Use what you got. What's been done in you can now be done through you. Those are fancy words to say this. God wants to use you right where you are. Let me close this because I need to get finished today. One of my favorite scriptures proves this. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. I just read it at the funeral yesterday. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Listen, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. What's that say? God comforts you so that you will be able to comfort others. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not a comforting kind of guy. I get it. It's okay, because it's not your comfort. He says you comfort others with the comfort that God has comforted you with. That works with anything that God does. He causes you to speak with the words that God, to others, that God has spoken to you with. Amen? He causes you to give out of the abundance to others that God has given to you with. Does that make sense? And so this is how it all works. So church, I want to encourage you today. Use what you got. Stay close to the sources that God uses to give you what you need. Stay connected to the church. Stay connected to other believers. Trust that what God is doing in you is all that you have need of. God has created you for good works. Those good works come from what God is doing in you. Those good works come from where you have been and what you have experienced in life and what you have walked through. Those good works flow from these times together right now in what God is doing right here. And they flow out of this place and into the places where every one of us do life. So seek opportunity this week to do good for God. Seek opportunity this week to be Jesus to someone you know, to someone you rub shoulders with, to someone you live life with, to someone you do life with. And then also, let's make this our prayer today. Pray and ask the Lord to open your eyes to the opportunity that is all around you. Well, Pastor, I went this week and I didn't see anybody. I guarantee you, you're just missing it. There's people in front of you all the time. We pass them by without ever knowing who they are. Sometimes we don't even think it's them because it's got to be somebody else. But Jesus is placing them right in front of us. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my eyes to the opportunity this week to be your hand outstretched to somebody who needs you, to be your mouthpiece to someone who needs to hear, to be your heart to someone who needs to be loved. To God, help me see those around me. And then, lastly, stop making excuses. Let's get busy. There's a world that needs Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about making him the man in the middle of all this. In other words, leading people to Christ, not to ourselves. We like to make disciples of ourselves, but we're called to make disciples of Jesus. And so we're going to speak about that next week. Can I pray for you today?